It's Wednesday, and that means it's time for our Neighbors in Action segment. That's where we feature people and organizations working to make our community a better place. This week, we feature Resolution Services of Central Michigan. The Lansing-based nonprofit offers peaceful conflict resolution services for businesses, individuals, and schools, and it covers six mid-Michigan counties. Well, here to tell us a little bit more about it, Linda Glover, who is the Executive Director of Resolution Services of Central Michigan. Joining her is Alicia Russwinkle. She's a volunteer mediator at Resolution Services. Welcome.
Thank you.
Wonderful to have you both here. Off the top, a little bit of self-disclosure, I am also an attorney, and ironically, the segment was set up before I think the people here realized that I also volunteer for as a mediator at Resolution Services Center. So it gives me a little bit more knowledge and appreciation of what you all do and how important your work is. Linda, let me start with you. Can you explain exactly what Resolution Services does and
yes,
the services offered?
Definitely. We help people resolve conflict. We were established many, many years ago, in part by an action by the Supreme Court that decided we needed community organizations that helped people stay out of court, or if they're in court, to help them resolve it without prolonged litigation. So we resolve everything from cases that are in court, people suing each other, we're very active in the schools and working with students in the area of conflict resolution with our restorative justice program.
Let me pick apart that segment first, working in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about how you're brought into, what kind of intervention, how you get involved in the schools?
Well, it's called a restorative process, and oftentimes we are called into schools when you've got a number of youth who are mad at each other. Mm-hmm. They're using Facebook to attack one another. They're bullying each other. Mm-hmm. And we have a process that we go through. It starts with an intake and ends with a circle. And it's a very different process from an investigatory process. We are asking every single one of those young people, what's going on? What's been happening? Ultimately, what impact is this having on you? And eventually we get to resolution. And it sounds pretty simple. The process is simple, but it's very powerful because they each get to give a narrative about what they're concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're called, we are really placed in about 16 schools,
mm-hmm.
and then we're called into other schools on an as-needed basis.
Okay. Now, where I happen to interact as a mediator with Resolution Services is in the court. Talk to me, Linda, if you will, about how that process evolves. How do people end up going into mediation as opposed to maybe going to a trial?
Often it's the judge's decision.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking a look at the facts of the case, and they may decide that mediation is a more appropriate avenue for this particular dispute, and they will order it to mediation.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just referred. They suggest to the parties they might try mediation. Other times it's ordered. And sometimes they're ordered to us, and other times they're just ordered to mediation, and then the attorneys who are representing the parties may say, we want to use resolution services, and they do that for a variety of reasons.
Okay. Now, Alicia Russwinkle, let me bring you into this conversation. I heard that you are both a satisfied customer of this process and also someone who serves as a mediator as an attorney.
That's correct.
Yeah. What was your engagement as, let's talk about you as a client, first of all, of this. What happened there?
Well, I've actually had a number of cases where the parties either decided for cost reasons or what I would call conflict reasons that they wanted to use the resolution center. And when I say conflict reasons, what I mean is that one of the parties basically said, I don't want to use a mediator who has a strong bond or relationship with one of the attorneys because
mm-hmm.
they're concerned about, you know, that relationship and how that it might affect mediation. That relationship does not affect mediation, but sometimes, especially pro per parties,
mm-hmm.
that becomes a concern. And so with the Resolution Center, we know that they are skilled, trained mediators that can assist our clients at a reasonable cost, but also provide that anonymity that particularly when we have pro per clients who are representing themselves, they like that break from
mm-hmm.
what they see as kind of a relationship between many attorneys. And so one of the first cases that I became involved in, it was actually three attorneys involved, and the three of us just couldn't agree on a mediator.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the attorneys had very strong personalities, and so
that never happens, right?
Right.
Yeah, of course.
So the court basically said that they were interested in some type of alternative program, mm-hmm. and the court recommended this so that there was no relationship between any of the attorneys and the mediator. And it was a very successful mediation. It was an estate matter, mm-hmm. which has a lot of emotional components for the parties. And the outcome was very positive. We had a great resolution. And while the relationships between the parties haven't been repaired, which is unfortunate, but the result was amicable. And so that introduced me to the center. And from there, I had a few more cases. I utilized the center in a few more cases where the clients didn't have the funds or resources to pay hundreds of dollars an hour for a mediator. And I enjoyed what I was doing when I was in the center.
So you got hooked.
I did. I thought that
happens,
looks like
doesn't
a lot
it?
Of
yeah,
fun. And so
I'm not sure I'd use the word fun, but engaging.
Engaging.
Can we go with engaging?
That works. That works.
Yeah. Linda Glover, as director of the Resolution Services Center, what kind of training is required for someone who wants to be a mediator?
Good question. It's a 40-hour training that is sponsored and approved by the Michigan Supreme Court. And we offer that training. We offer it many times a year. And after someone completes that 40-hour training in the process of mediation, they then have to do an internship. Depends if they're an attorney, they have to do a shorter internship. If they're some other profession, they need to do 40 hours of observation and practice and even coaching and participating in role plays. And at the end of that time, they are then eligible to be on a court roster. They don't have to be on a court roster, and most of ours are. Most of our mediators are also listed on some court roster as a mediator, but they can just be listed with our center. And we have about 85 people who volunteer for us.
And what I pick up out of what you just said to me is that you don't have to be an attorney if you want to engage in this.
You do not have to be an attorney. There are a lot of attorneys who are mediators, but mm-hmm. we also have a lot of other professionals, including yourself, mm-hmm. You are an attorney, correct?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, you
yeah.
are. But there are a lot of professionals that are not attorneys, and they take our training, and then they become volunteers for the center.
Yeah, my students think it's amusing that I have a bar card. They think that it means something totally different. Yeah, we hear the phrase alternate dispute resolution a lot. Does this fit in? Are we talking about the same thing when we're talking about the services, Linda Glover, that are provided here?
Yes, we are a form of alternative dispute resolution. There are numbers of forms of alternative dispute resolution, arbitration, something called case evaluation, where mm-hmm. your case, if it's in court, could be evaluated by a panel of three attorneys. And mediation is on that spectrum. And we are very client-focused. We don't tell clients how to resolve their case. We don't give them advice. We facilitate a process that helps them hopefully come to their own resolution. And it's amazing how often it works.
Mm-hmm. Alicia Russwinkel, the difference between arbitration and mediation, can you talk about that?
Yes. Arbitration is more akin to a trial in that generally you do submit written documentation. The rules of evidence generally aren't utilized, but you do submit evidence in different ways. And arbitrators sometimes take testimony. Often they do allow the people to speak, but the ultimate outcome is a determination made by an arbitrator. So they make the decision just mm-hmm. as a judge would, which is very different from mediation, where the parties actually come together and resolve the case on their own. And the parties have a lot more ability to formulate a conclusion to their or resolution to their problem, and they can be very creative. And mm-hmm. arbitrators are, this is what's going to happen, and this yeah. is how you're going to do it, just like a judge would do.
Right. So mediation is not binding.
Correct.
Right. Arbitration often is, can be, and really should be.
Correct.
Yeah. I know in my experience, often I will say to the parties, I'm there to help them. But it's their decision. It's the conclusion that they come to or not. But if not, there's a guy in a black robe in the room next door who's going to help you, mm-hmm. help you with that. So I think sometimes that's encouraging when people realize that they have a stake. They have the opportunity then to fashion whatever the result's going to be.
That's absolutely true. There's more creativity. Now, the agreement, if they come to one, is binding. It can be considered a contract. Right. It could be enforced in court. But most of the time, there are no arguments. Once they have decided on this resolution, which is theirs, when parties make their own solutions, they don't usually come back. We track that pretty well. And at least our center, we had about a 93% compliance rate that 6 months later, even a year later, people have complied with that agreement, and there was no further litigation on the case.
Well, I was going to ask you what the success rate is, but that's stunning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that keeps folks pretty balanced and pretty happy. Linda Glover, what are some of the more unusual cases? You know, I mean, you always have to ask about the wild ones.
Well, I think some of the more complicated and unusual cases that we do are divorce cases.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember one divorce case where they had frozen embryos, and we were mediating what was going to happen with that. That's probably one of the most unusual cases that stand out in my mind. I think what's unusual about a lot of the cases, they come so angry. When they come in, they're so angry and they're so frustrated and they don't think this is going to work. And they're really kind of amazed when they're the ones that are developing the options and solutions that it does work and they can come to resolutions that are good for both of them.
Mm-hmm. So anger management, in a sense, is part of the mediation training?
Not really. How to control the process is part of the training. Mm-hmm. You really have to conduct yourself and carry yourself in a way that sets the ground rules and relates to the parties in an empathic, really a concerned and compassionate way. That when I'm mediating, and I am a mediator, I am asking them to trust me to help them through a process, but I'm not going to tell them what to do. So in terms of anger management, we have very little problem with people getting angry in mediations. They might talk loud and they get intense, but the process is one which controls that party behavior, much like a courtroom, where you don't have too many outbursts. It doesn't happen very often. It has happened, but very, very seldom.
And people typically come committed. They want to win. Of course, folks want to walk away with everything, but they understand, I think, once the process engaged them, that there has to be a win on both sides.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Alicia, some interesting cases that you've had?
Well, a few of the cases that we've had actually with the center have been very interesting. One, which is a good example, we had a situation where two parties were in a domestic partnership, and that can be very difficult to manage through the court system because there are not a lot of avenues and options for those clients to take. And so we had a situation where the parties owned a home and jointly. And so we had to work through not only the ownership of the home, but the ownership of the personal property. It's very much like a divorce case, but there's no avenue for them to go through court to deal with this, with this division of assets. And so that was a very positive experience. And I think both parties were pleased with the outcome. And I think the center and the availability of the people that were there and the understanding and not passing judgment, that was really positive for these clients as well.
Excellent. Where does the funding, Linda, come from? How do you pay for this?
We sort of piecemeal a lot of different sources together to keep our doors open.
Sure.
And, of course, we use volunteer mediators. Even though they may be paid in their private lives, they're volunteers for us. A large portion of our funding comes from filing fees that are managed by the Supreme Court. Every time you file a case in court, you have to pay a filing fee. And a percentage of those filing fees are distributed to the 18 centers around the state. Additionally, we apply for grants. We have some steady funding coming in for some of our school programs. But on any given year, it's like all nonprofits, we have to really watch the bottom line. And the volunteers help tremendously because we don't pay our mediators.
Great. I so appreciate you taking time to come in. And what an irony to have a deeper understanding of what you do. So important. Linda Glover, the Executive Director of Resolution Services of Central Michigan, and Alicia Russwinkle, an attorney but also a volunteer with the process. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.